This is Nick.
This is Jack.
Welcome back. It is Monday, April 22nd, and today's pod is the best one yet. It's a T-boy.
The top three pop business news stories you need to know today.
Big week for the pod. Jack, we got our New York live show and count them down, 72 hours, man?
Yeah, we have the New York City T-boy live show. It's this Wednesday. Huge studio audience. I'm planning to dress up in pinstripes.
Oh my God, you're going to look fantastic. I can't wait till we can look out and be like, studio audience, how are you?
We are flying from San Francisco to New York City. We both just packed our bags. We got the hotel. I'm bringing my dog River, by the way.
You should come to the show. Yetis, if you are in New York City this week, we can't wait to meet in person.
We are really pumped to see you.
But Jack, what are the three stories for today's T-Boy?
For our first story, open up your Instagram and you'll notice something new. A Meta AI chatbot in the search bar.
This is InstaGPT, and it could become the new leader in AI.
For our second story, South Korea's K-pop bands IPO'd themselves. They are publicly traded bands.
But K-pop stocks are experiencing a K-pop drop.
And our third and final story, the Wall Street Journal just discovered that Amazon has a secret fake company to gather intel on its rivals.
Amazon has gone full James Bond. It has infiltrated Walmart.
But Yetis, before we hit that wonderful mix,
that is how you kick off the week to the live show, Jack.
The biggest waste in America is change.
Change. Like pocket change. Pocket change, yeah. Not the other change, yeah.
Pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters.
Not the verb, we're talking the noun here.
Americans love money.
They do.
But they don't love the tiniest money, apparently.
Get this. Americans throw away $68 million of pennies, of quarters, of dimes every single year.
$68 million of change we just toss in the trash every year.
Sit down, stand up, and I found some change on the couch, Jack.
I guess nickels have become a nuisance.
And I guess pennies have become more of a problem.
Now, we've all been there. What am I going to do with these filthy metal coins?
Is that like mold growing on Lincoln's head? What is this?
They fall down on the floor. You don't even go back to pick them up.
Oh, Jack, you go through a TSA checkpoint. You're just leaving that change in the bin.
You really are. The TSA actually collects hundreds of thousands of dollars in unclaimed change every year.
Remove your shoes. Remove your liquids and leave your half dollars.
But plot twist.
Yes.
Your lost change is actually somebody's business.
This is shocking, but there is a startup called ReWorld that is actually collecting unwanted change as a business.
This sustainable trash company sifts through the cartons, the containers, and the crumbs to find those coins.
And from 550,000 tons of trash, they've collected $10 million of lost change.
Your lost dime is their new dime.
Your lost penny is their profit. So, Jack, what's the takeaway for all our buddies who have simply lost and tossed their change?
One man's trash is another man's treasure.
And your perspective on change is about to change.
When I was a kid, finding change around the house was my primary source of income.
I think you told me about that hobby. I kind of felt bad.
Pro tip. Between the dryer machine and the dryer door, that little crease there is loaded with quarters.
George Washington, you are
couch cushions?
Yes.
$10.
It's not a futon, it's a gold mine. Jack, let's hit our three stories.
15 years before this song, two boys from the Northeast met in the dorm. They had an idea to cause a cultural storm. It's the best one yet, but the best is the norm. Jack, Nick, that's it. I don't even think they need to practice. 50%, that's a fat tip. T-Boy City on your at list. If you know, you know, cause we ready to go. We can't wait no more, so just start the show. Start the show.
First, a quick word from our sponsor.
This podcast is supported by FedEx.
FedEx offers picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday.
See the FedEx service guide for delivery information.
FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business.
Absolutely. Positively, FedEx. Sponsorship for this show comes from SoFi Invest. Alternative investments are now available on SoFi. Unlock the potential to build and protect your wealth with alts, including real estate, venture capital, pre-IPO unicorns, and more at SoFi.com/T-Boy.
Alternative investment funds have unique risks, including the risk of loss, may charge high fees, can be illiquid, and aren't suitable for all investors. Investors should carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, expenses, and important information contained in a fund's prospectus prior to investing. SoFi Securities LLC, member FINRA, SIPC. For our first story, Mark Zuckerberg just shocked the world, not by launching a ChatGPT competitor,
but by immediately sticking that AI chatbot into your Instagram.
That's right. Instagram just came after ChatGPT.
Yetis, we've said it before. Mark Zuckerberg's only original idea, his only one, was Facebook, which he invented in 2004.
And it was the Facebook back then. Yeti, since then, Zuck's basically copied other ideas made by other companies. And what do we call it, Jack?
A Zucking.
It's a Zucking. And last Thursday, Jack and I got an alert in our T-Boy studios about a stage 5 Zucking.
Meta copied the most powerful product of our era, OpenAI's ChatGPT.
Yeti, Zuckerberg's new chatbot is called Meta AI, and it's based on a large language model called Llama 3.
And the launch was so successful, it sent the stock of Meta to a new record high last week.
Get this, Zuck's Meta is now worth a whopping $1.3
trillion. 2023 was Zuck's year of efficiency.
2024 is Zuck's year of AI efficiency.
Now, Yetis, the reason Meta's AI chatbot is so powerful isn't that it's as smart as ChatGPT.
Yeah, good point. It may never become as smart as ChatGPT, right?
But it still might be more powerful because Zuck's AI chatbot is more accessible than ChatGPT.
Jack, I think there is a Game of Thrones episode where like one of the Lannisters says something about this. Like, power is accessibility, not strength. You know, like something like that?
Sounds like a Tyrion line.
Yeah, it's a classic Tyrion.
Because Yetis, if you go to the search bar of your Instagram app, your Facebook app, or Messenger or WhatsApp, the first thing you're going to see is a new Meta AI branding.
And this is what Jack and I found fascinating. This isn't just a search bar anymore in Instagram for like cupcake hashtags.
The search bar on all of Meta's apps are now an AI chatbot.
We repeat again, you go on Instagram, you're not just typing the name of the person you're trying to Facebook stalk. Now it's about typing questions.
I just opened Instagram and I went to the search bar and I typed in, how long does it take to bake an entire chicken?
And what ended up happening?
Meta's AI chatbot told me that a 4 to 5 pound chicken takes an hour and a half at 425.
If you would type that into Instagram like a week ago, you would have gotten some weird chicken profiles, dude.
Yeah, weirdest Instagram account you've ever seen.
So besties, pause the pod. Instagram is now not just a threat to ChatGPT. Instagram is now a threat to Google search.
They just turned their search bar in the Instagram app into a web browser that has AI answering your questions.
And that's not the only thing Zuck did, was it, Jack?
He even created a standalone website called meta.ai. that will compete with Google.com.
There's some drama going down in the Bay Area, man. So, Jack, what's the takeaway for all our buddies over at Instagram?
The two most powerful terms in tech are free and frictionless.
Free and frictionless, like biceps. Yetis, when a tech product is free and frictionless, that's a freaky combo.
And Meta has both of those in a way that its AI competitors do not.
All right, here's how we see it. ChatGPT is trying to make money, and it does so by paywalling its best features for $20 a month.
Google's chatbot is doing the same thing. You have to pay $20 a month to use it.
But Zuck doesn't plan to charge a dollar for this new chatbot. Instead, he said his goal is just to keep this thing free for the whole world.
Just like the rest of his apps are, free for the whole world.
So Zuck will be making money with ads and use AI to keep you in the apps just longer.
He hopes that instead of using Google for your web browsing, you start using Instagram for your web browsing.
But it's not just about being free. Since the whole world already downloaded Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, it's frictionless to try too.
You can try it right now. You don't even have to update the app on your phone.
So the way Jack and I see it, even if Zuck's new AI chatbot is inferior to all the others, it still may win the AI race.
Because Meta has the two most powerful terms in tech. Free.
Boom.
And frictionless.
Boom. For our second story, from South Korea to Coachella, K-pop bands are living their best lives right now.
But the real surprise about K-pop bands is that there are K-pop stocks.
And those K-pop stocks have popped and dropped.
Yetis, every time we cover K-pop on this show, a huge section of our audience goes nuts.
We love it. It's fantastic. Jack, do these words mean anything to you, by the way? A guy whose heart bursts when the night comes, a sexy lady, wop a Gangnam
the
Style.
The last bit does.
Yeah, that's the translation of Gangnam Style, which is for nearly 5 years, the most watched YouTube song of all time.
Baby Shark Dance took the crown.
It's also a prime example of K-pop, which is South Korean pop music.
K-pop is South Korea's top export after cars, smartphones, and cosmetics.
Get this, K-pop music is 2% of South Korea's GDP.
But it's also taken on the U.S. music charts.
Oh, yeah. Can we interest you in some Blackpink, some Red Velvet? They've been selling out in the United States.
At Chicago's Lollapalooza, New Jeans was the number one performer.
Oh, and BTS was so popular, McDonald's made their first huge meal named after them.
But here's the big surprise. South Korea actually has 4 publicly traded K-pop stocks.
We repeat, there are 4 publicly traded K-pop band stocks in South Korea with a competitive advantage that's that they're handsome.
And Wall Street is so bullish on the Bantam boys that the label that owns BTS went public.
Yeah, just to sprinkle on some context here, this is like Taylor Swift Inc. was traded on NASDAQ,
yeah,
man.
If all of Taylor Swift's business was publicly tradable and the ticker symbol would be Eras.
What's in your portfolio? Oh, I got a Weezer ETF.
This was literally our ask of Taylor Swift last year, by the way.
Now, Yetis, here's what Jack and I found fascinating about this story. Jack, what's the best way to understand K-pop stock?
Go to a concert. Go to a BTS concert.
Get a Jungkook poster and you're going to understand what we're talking about. But Jack, what's the second best way to understand K-pop stocks?
Jump in T-boy style to the earnings report of HYBE.
HYBE.
It's a $7 billion entertainment company that owns all the rights to the mega popular K-pop band BTS.
Now, lately, if you follow BTS, you know their band members have been going solo. So that has helped them scale the number of albums they're selling.
All the members are also under the label of HYBE.
Now, Jack, when we checked out the financials...
Oh, they're looking fantastic.
Oh, what are we seeing, man?
Revenues jumped 23% last quarter from the year before. Profits are up 20%. And concert revenue is up 40%.
Oh, plus, the growth strategy for HYBE is spreading their K-pop stars abroad.
Coachella's first weekend, La Seraphim, opened.
And yet, despite those fantastic numbers that just took the stage, which, by the way, your voice would be K-pop good, man. It would be very K-pop.
I don't know about that.
Despite those Billboard wins, K-pop stocks have not been popping.
All 4 K-pop stocks are down so far this year. One of them by 40%.
But besties, here's the news.
Goldman Sachs, the American investment bank, thinks that K-pop stocks deserve more star attention.
Goldman Sachs? That we need to treat these K-pop stocks more like the talent.
Goldman Sachs just put a buy rating on the K-pop stocks of South Korea.
So Jack and I whipped up the takeaway. Jack, what's the takeaway for all our buddies who are K-pop band stocks?
Music is about the notes. Investing is about the metrics.
Yetis, here's the interesting thing. Goldman thinks that the problem isn't K-pop's business. It's K-pop's analysts. We've been looking at the wrong metrics.
Because investors have evaluated music traditionally by looking at album sales.
Because historically, album sales are what reflect the number of fans, so that should reflect the sales potential of like a band.
But Goldman thinks the better metric is concerts, merch sales, and meetups with fans. Like offline audience interaction.
Right. That's what they think we should be focusing on, not the albums.
They think offline meetups reflect intensity of engagement from fans, and that's the real indicator of profit potential.
Well, remember what Jack and I said? K-pop concert audiences grew 40% last year, and they doubled the number of bands that they're taking on tour.
So yes, K-pop stocks are down, but Goldman thinks they should pop up.
Goldman thinks that we've been listening to the wrong metrics. Now, a quick word from our sponsor.
Today's show is sponsored by Acura.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura.
And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet.
Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own.
Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Airbnb.
I just got invited to the first wedding of the summer.
Yeah.
Happens to be a gay wedding.
Nice.
Very excited to attend.
And the first thing that you did, Jack?
Book a hotel for the wedding.
Okay. Second thing that you did?
List my place as available that weekend on Airbnb.
Millions of people host on Airbnb, but millions more have never even thought about hosting.
Here's the thing. We've said it's great to make money while you sleep. Actually, Warren Buffett said that.
Well, when you're an Airbnb host, you make money while you sleep and while someone else sleeps.
That's why anytime I'm traveling, I immediately jump into Airbnb and set my house as available. It's that easy.
So Yetis, your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. For our third and final story, this one's wild. Amazon's newest product, it's a secret spy business.
Amazon created a fake company just to spy on the competition.
True story.
and they managed to infiltrate Walmart, eBay, and Shopify.
Jack, we've got an interesting assignment for you. Have you ever heard of the name Big River? Does Big River mean anything to you?
No.
Yeti's Big River is actually an online store for stuff.
I just checked it out. Big River sells beach chairs, sneakers, pajamas with Spider-Man on.
Yeah, they're selling classic stuff. Big River, they got a warehouse, they got a website. They sell things on online platforms.
Last year, they made $1 million in revenue, $125,000 of which was sold through Walmart.
When you jump in T-Boy style like we did and go to their website, it says, "We at Big River are entrepreneurs, thinkers, marketers, and creators."
Big River is actually a real business that sells stuff through Walmart and others.
But funny thing,
it's also a fake business.
Get this, Yetis. Big River is actually secretly owned and operated and founded by Amazon.
Thanks to some fantastic investigative journalism from the Wall Street Journal.
This is wild.
We know that over the last 10 years, Amazon created a secret, separate company just to spy on rivals.
Big River. Amazon staff used Big River to go undercover, and then they would sell things on Walmart and eBay to learn how their rivals worked.
They'd pretend to be an unaffiliated company,
yeah,
and try to sell products through Walmart stores.
This is corporate espionage. This is capitalist spying, Jack.
The name's Bezos. Jeff Bezos.
How do you like your packages, Jeff?
Shake and not stir.
Exactly. That's what I was hoping you would say that. Yetis. This all began back in 2015 at Amazon when their codename Project Curiosity became an internal plan to study competition.
From that secret internal project, they launched a real company called Big River, and they filled that company with Amazon employees, but erased Amazon from their identity.
They scrubbed it CIA style. Like, no mention of Amazon in their email addresses, in the legal registration, not even on the website. No signs of Amazon.
They went full Jason Bourne.
Totally.
Big River would go to e-commerce conferences and introduce themselves as employees of Big River.
They even trained their employees on how to respond if word got out about an Amazon connection.
Like the CIA does the same thing.
Oh, and then Amazon, they even took this spy concept international, because to understand Japanese e-commerce companies, they did the same thing.
They created a brand called Not So Ape. It's like a real brand.
Yeah, it's a streetwear brand in Tokyo that sells like sneakers, hats, and skateboards, but it's owned secretly by Amazon.
It's a front used to understand logistics.
So Jack, if that even is your real name, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Amazon?
Is this ethically wrong, or is this innovatively right?
All right, Yetis, what Amazon is doing here is actually a real common thing. It's called benchmarking, researching competition to make sure your own company is staying ahead.
Plenty of companies do benchmarking. Car companies, for example, they buy the new car of the competition and then dissect it to understand how it works.
But what Amazon's doing, creating a fake company with real factories, real employees, and like really $1 million in revenues, that seems like benchmarking to the extreme. We've never seen that.
But is Amazon's secret spy business ethical? We're not sure.
Yeah, because like it feels ethically wrong to do business under false pretenses.
Yeah, and the omission of truth to Walmart that we're actually owned by Amazon, that's kind of the same as a lie.
Or on the other hand, was Amazon's secret spying business innovatively right?
Yeah, after all, Amazon could have found out the same information by hiring former Walmart employees or paying market research providers. Instead, they cut out the middleman and did it themselves.
Yeah, maybe this was just a creative level of research with wildly innovative approaches.
Either way, this is benchmarking to the extreme. We need to understand where you draw the line.
Yeah, like if a chef, Jack, goes to a rival restaurant and like orders the chicken cordon bleu and then asks the waiter for some intel and brings it home with him and studies it.
That's probably fine.
Yeah.
Unless they go in as disguised as someone else.
So Yetis, this is what Jack and I have been wondering all day. Like Amazon's fake, real multi-million dollar business that's a spy business, it brings up a new business debate.
We want to know from you. Corporate espionage is legal, but is it ethical?
Hit us up at T-Boy Pod. Jack, can you whip up the takeaways for us to kick off the New York Live Week?
Zuck just put a powerful AI chatbot into the search bar of all of Meta's apps, including Instagram.
And it got two of the most powerful strengths in tech, free and frictionless.
For our second story, it's K-pop. a booming export of South Korea, but a dropping part of the stock market.
But Goldman Sachs thinks that investors are just listening to the wrong BTS metric.
And our third and final story, Amazon has been operating a front company to infiltrate Walmart and other competitors.
$007. This is corporate espionage. It's legal. But is it ethical?
I'm going to ask Moneypenny.
I think that's why they're doing this, Jack. For the money and the pennies.
Actually, Amazon owns James Bond.
They are Moneypenny.
But Yetis, this pod's not over yet. Here's what else you need to know today.
First, it is Earth Day. And according to a new study published in Nature, climate change will badly hurt the economy. And they shared some interesting numbers out.
Global GDP will decline by 19% by 2050. Due to warmer climates and more extreme weather.
It's like we all know that this is happening, but it's helpful when you get the numbers around it.
Yeah, plus, we're also worried about the cost of clean energy. The cost of the status quo is so much worse.
And second, on Saturday, the House of Representatives passed sweeping foreign policy bills.
It included aid for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan, plus a new TikTok bill.
Next, the Senate is expected to pass each one of these, and then President Biden is expected to sign each one of them too. Right into law.
Including the TikTok bill, which would force China to sell TikTok in 1 year or face a ban.
And finally, this sounds like the plot of, frankly, a James Bond movie, but this is actually a real life thing. There was a gold heist on an airplane.
Isn't that how Batman The Dark Knight begins with Bane?
Also GoldenEye. Yetis, Air Canada employees are suspected in a gold heist of 6,600 gold bars.
Because a Swiss bank shipped a bunch of gold to Canada. And the flight attendants are like, did you see what's down in the cargo bay?
Yeah, these gold prices are record highs, over $2,000 an ounce.
The flight attendants wanted that gold.
It was actually the bag handler guys, but I have a feeling everyone got in on that action, Jack. Oh, I'll have more peanuts. Now time for the best fact yet. This one sent in by Mariana Munoz Niembra from lovely Vancouver, Canada.
We're doubling down on Earth Day.
Oh, yeah, literally. Actually, this one's literally just about the Earth.
It turns out the Earth is spinning too fast.
Yeah, it's actually spinning so fast that the world's timekeepers are considering subtracting a second from our clocks to keep time kosher right now.
Now, we've added time to the calendar with leap year.
Right, that's when the Earth is going around the sun, and so we need to adjust things.
Yeah, we have to adjust things because it's not exactly 365 around the sun.
But in this case, it's that the Earth is spinning around itself a little too fast.
It's rotating. And it's not exactly 24 hours.
Yeah, it's called the negative second loop, Yetis. And here's the thing. The Earth, it takes about 24 hours to rotate.
Keyword, about. So we might have to subtract a second.
Yetis, you look fantastic. Jack, you got your toothbrush ready for New York, man? You got that thing packed up?
My backup travel toothbrush?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. You're always going to travel with a backup
toothbrush. We're staying at the Standard Hotel,
yeah,
right?
It's going to be great. Me, Pat, we'll run along the High Line. This is going to be great in the morning.
It's a dog-friendly hotel.
We can't wait to play New York Live this week. And remember, we always want to add more Yetis to the crew, so tell your buddies, HYHTBOY.
Have you had the best one yet?
That is how we grow the show. It really is.
If you know, you know.
And before we go, a happy birthday. I'm sorry, a happy quarter birthday to me, which you didn't mention earlier, Jack.
I missed your 1/6th birthday. I missed your 1/5th birthday.
I wasn't expecting a gift.
You're expecting 1/4th of a gift.
I was. Yetis, and happy birthday to Judy Slivins in Fort Lewis, Washington, an Army service member and Cobra Commander.
Thanks for your service, Judy.
And Kaylin Cunnote in Antioch, Illinois, has got a birthday and a residency acceptance to Columbia University. You're going to have a blast. Columbia is just amazing.
Really good mufongo in the neighborhood around Columbia Med School.
Get that mufongo. And Max and Alana in Asheville, North Carolina are moving in together. Not too shabby. Congratulations.
And happy birthday to Ava Perez from Verona, Wisconsin.
Legendary Yeti on Wisconsin.
And happy second anniversary to Angela and Joseph in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
And Mike Wong has got a new job down in San Mateo, California. Congratulations, Mike.
And congrats to Alex Chang starting a new job in Torrance, California.
And to everyone else whose 1/4 birthday it is, ha.
Oh, yeah. I see what you did there. This is Jack. I own stock of Amazon and Netflix, and Nick and I both own stock of Shopify. If you like The Best One Yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.